Brian Houston steps down as global senior pastor of the megachurch Hillsong. And we take a look at the emergent church and how it's actually slithered its way into many conservative churches and have turned them into breeding grounds for progressive Christianity and deconstruction. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the church, and not just talking about the church, but also those who I guess you would say are falsely called churches. And this is important because this is the reality of within Christianity, specifically with what the outside world sees as Christianity, we recognize when things are happening, we want to be able to give an answer to what is going on so that when you're at work or you're at school or with your friends or whatever, and a non-believer or believer brings up, hey, what's going on with Hillsong, or what's going on with this deconstruction of this Christian artist and so forth, we want to be able to give answers, answers that are biblical in nature and actually express both love and truth. We don't trade one for the other. We don't simply yell at people and tell them how terrible they are, nor do we just say, oh, well, we just want to love everybody and never express truth. We should be doing what Colossians 4 says and speak with grace as those seasoned with salt. Obviously, I don't want to pour too much salt on a ribeye or otherwise it'll make it unedible. But if you put just the right amount, guess what? It is delicious. And the reality is when we are sharing truth, we want it to be understanding to people, but also share with the reality. And I want to bring this out because we're going to talk about this later, about some of the markings of not only what the emergent church has turned into, but some of those markings in terms of what you're hearing or not hearing at your fellowship and whether or not they fall in line with what the emergent church really started and what is being continued. And I wouldn't say even the emergent church started it. I would say probably Satan is actually the one who started it. And then over the years, eventually turned that into the emergent church, which is now progressive Christianity or deconstruction. But nonetheless, for those who haven't heard, Brian Houston of Hillsong, he has officially stepped down. And I'm going to read from the article here because this has been a tumultuous few years, specifically from the pandemic on, for Hillsong International. And so I wanted to look at exactly what is going on because he has stepped down and it is a big deal for a lot of people. And it does have a huge effect, not only on those in the church who need to answer for what is this Hillsong movement, right? But also those outside the church who may not be saved and yet they see these black eyes and consider this, oh, that's what Christianity is, when it's really not. But nonetheless, this is from an article. It says, Hillsong founder Brian Houston announced that he will be stepping down from his role as the megachurch's global senior pastor so he can fight charges that he concealed sexual abuse crimes committed by his father. Yes, for those who don't know, the foundation of the church really did start with the father there of Brian Houston. And yes, there were sex crimes that did take place. And basically, what they're trying to figure out is whether or not Brian Houston was concealing some of the wicked behavior that was going on. Quote, last August, New South Wales police charged Houston with concealing crimes committed by his late father, Frank Houston. Frank was accused of sexually abusing a young male in the 1970s. Houston denies the charges, but still, in September, he stepped down from his roles on various Hillsong Church boards while remaining global senior pastor. On Sunday, however, 1 month after Hillsong's external legal counsel suggested that Houston step down from all church leadership to deal with his legal proceedings, Houston announced that he would be stepping away from his global senior pastor role. Houston's legal battle is expected to take up of most of 2022. So obviously, what's going on there is a private legal battle with Brian Houston and whether or not he concealed what is the very edifice, really, of Hillsong in terms of his own father and some of the things he did with a young boy back in the 1970s. And this is obviously heartbreaking. I can't imagine what this is like for the Houston family, that this has been a skeleton in the closet of that church for such a long time. But really, there has been more than just simply charges levied against his father and whether or not he concealed them, because the tumultuous nature of what has been going on at Hillsong, not only by their false teaching, because that's really what they are, they're a false movement, but also the fact that these major pastors or leaders in the church have been falling. And we could start right away with Carl Lentz. Now, most people knew Carl Lentz as the guy who would take pictures shirtless with Justin Bieber or take shots with him at bars. And then, sadly enough, he also would go on shows like The View and Oprah, where he would be asked directly regarding homosexuality and abortion. And he would say things like, well, we don't talk about those things. That would be a private matter. We don't preach those things from the pulpit. Sadly enough, that would automatically disqualify you as a pastor, not preaching against sin that way, especially for those who are going to decide whether or not to murder their child in the womb. It would be best if you actually discuss that that is a sinful act from the pulpit and not simply in a private conversation when a lot of times it's already too late. And the preventative care of a pastor, making sure that the church knows full well where they stand concerning these subjects, is positively important. And we need to make sure that we understand that as a whole, where the body stands and where each church should stand in regards to this, to these issues, as well as things like fornication, as well as things like adultery, as well as things like pornography and all these other sexual sins or sins of greed and thievery or whatever it may be. We need to be able to preach against them, because so many people are, it's easy to call out racism, right? Because racism is easily seen to be sinful. It says if you hate your brother, then you're already a murderer, and murderers have no eternal life in them. So we want to make sure that we preach against that. But a lot of times these socially acceptable things that are seen as sin are so easy to preach against, but those very things which society says, well, it's not sin to us, so many churches, like mega churches, like Hillsong, have a real tough time expressing that truth to people. And it seems like people get mixed messages. And that is what has taken place. And although you might have seen Carl Lentz on, like, as I said, on Oprah, although you might have seen him courtside at the Knicks game or talking with Kevin Durant and taking pictures for his Instagram page, the reality was he was living a double life, and he ended up literally lying and making up a storyline to someone while sleeping with them outside of his marriage. And this is why he was let go, along with other things, other moral failures that Hillsong called it. But this was their marquee church here in the States. Hillsong NYC was their biggest church in the United States, and Carl Lentz was their biggest celebrity pastor. And so when you see this fall, that was a huge thing. And then someone else who helped plant that church, in fact, the ones, the Reed and Jess Bogard, they actually helped plant the church in NYC, also helped plant a church in Dallas, and they both were forced to resign because, quote, Hillsong was closing the Dallas branch after complaints about misuse of worshipers' tithes by pastors who appeared to be living a life of luxury. And I guess they also overused some of their volunteers or something. But nonetheless, this seems like a real tumultuous turn for Hillsong as a brand, because that's what it is a brand. And this has been painful. And for us as believers in Jesus Christ, for those who are part of the universal ecclesia, the body of Christ, which Jesus promised in Matthew 16, 18, that the gates of Hades would not prevail against, this very church that we are a part of, these things do come up. People will ask about what is going on. If you work in the workforce, well, what about this guy? And what about these pastors that do this? And what about the church that molested this child? And what about this person? And you need to be ready to give an account and recognize the reason why someone, specifically a non-believer, the reason why you recognize hypocrisy as wrong is because God has made us. It is the fact that we are made in his image that we hate hypocrisy. It is because he has written his law on our hearts that we recognize hypocrisy for the wicked sin that it is. And because the Holy Spirit has convicted the whole world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, that we recognize that things need to be made right when people have been wronged. The reason that you see it as evil, the evil that is happening at Hillsong Church for a lot of this hypocritical nonsense and the misuse of money in order to live a luxurious lifestyle, or the pastors cheating on their wives and so forth, is because God is the one who wrote those laws. They're not arbitrary. It's not because you feel like it's wrong. It's because they are objectively, morally wrong, because God is the one who has made that standard. God is the one who has said hypocrisy is sinful. God is the one who has said those who are supposed to be pastors, that they shouldn't be fond of sordid gain, that they shouldn't be lovers of money, that for false teachers, it's the God, their God is their belly. And that men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, that ultimately those are the things in the end times that will be indicative of even false teachers going forward and professing false teaching to people. And that we as believers in Christ, specifically as a pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy, says that that's exactly why we need to preach the gospel in of season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Because why? People will want to go to these mega churches and have their ears tickled. They'll heap for themselves false teachers so they can get their ears tickled, so they can hear their social justice gospels and not actually hear the true living gospel of Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ dying on a cross, raising again on the third day for our sins. We need to be reminded he died for our sins. Those sins that we commit or have committed over our lives, we need to recognize those are the ones that nailed him to the cross. This is why we talk about this on 511 News and on Good Fight Radio Show. The reality is when people talk about their testimony and they brag about the sins they used to commit, they're bragging about the things that got Jesus nailed to a cross. And so we need to recognize that and feel how painful and how hurtful it is to brag about sin in any way, shape, or form. And it's even shameful to have to bring it up, but look at it and say, that was a wicked state that I was in, and Jesus Christ saved me from it. And praise God for that. And it does hurt us. It hurt us to see these things. It hurts that this is the image that so many people have of the Christian church. And it's a false image. It's not the true church. It's not the people that I've gone and met all over the world, whether I went to Mexico, Costa Rica, Israel, Austria, Germany, Holland, anywhere here in the United States, Texas, my brothers in Texas and Kentucky and New York and Idaho, wherever we may go, I find blood-bought believers who absolutely love Jesus. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And these horrible black eyes to what is the real body of Christ, that people get to see this false image that people get to see, even though we need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within us, we also need to be ready to say, that's not biblical Christianity. That's not what the Bible subscribes, and it's not the person of Jesus and who he is. To use God as a means for mammon, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and that's what's been going on. And I pray that Carl, I pray the Bogards, I pray all of these guys, but Brian Houston and so forth, I pray they all repent, because false teachers, men who make merchandise, or people who make merchandise of men, I'm telling you, man, these guys, I do not envy what their end will look like. And speaking of false teaching, one of the most important videos that has ever been done at Good Fight Ministries is our DVD, This Emerging Church. And many people here have seen it on Amazon or in other places. And we truly believe, specifically talking with other, believers in Christ and so forth, that the movie that we put out, and that was even before, I think about a year before I came on at Good Fight Ministries, but the movie that we put out, This Emerging Church, really did put the emergent church on retreat. And for you guys who don't know the Emergent Church, some of the leaders of the Emergent Church, and a lot of you may know Progressive Christianity, which really is kind of just a mixed mash of Emergent Church ideas. And some of the bigger players that you may not know that were in the Emergent Church are guys like Brian McLaren, Tony Campolo, Tony Jones, Shane Claiborne, Rob Bell, Doug Padgett. These are some of the bigger names in the that were in the Emergent Church movement who eventually, I believe, because so many Christians started recognizing what the Emergent Church really was and that they were really from Satan himself, that they distanced themselves completely away from even the title. They didn't want to be called the Emergent Church anymore. But when we did a write-up, myself and Tony did a write-up years later regarding, hey, this is kind of an update in about 2015 regarding where the Emergent Church is at. This is what Brian McLaren said, and I believe it's proved prophetic concerning the Emergent Church to the Progressive Church to, guess what? Deconstruction, and that's been a very popular word lately, but this is what he said, and tell me if you don't think that this is that slithering snake seeping into so many, sadly, conservative churches. He said, the conversation concerning the Emergent Church continues to grow, not by creating a new slice of the pie, but by seasoning nearly all sectors of the pie. Even where the word emergent is not used, ideas from emergence leaders are being considered and adopted, leading to new experimentation and openness. Now, this is a guy who literally said concerning heaven and hell and the gospel that the cross isn't the center then. The cross is almost a distraction and a false advertising for God. Now, if that is not blasphemous, I don't know much that is. I mean, really, to say that the cross, that Jesus Christ going to the cross is a distraction. I think of 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 2. It says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the same Paul who said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is just absolutely ridiculous that some heretic would say something along the lines of the cross being a distraction. But this is the reality of so many of them. And I think about, you know, when he says in 1 Corinthians 2, that I came to learn nothing. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is somebody, remind you, this doesn't mean that he was an anti-intellectual. This is Paul who Festus said to him in Acts 26, 24, Paul, are you out of your mind? Your great learning is driving you mad. They knew that Paul was quite learned. But ultimately, when it came to the things that mattered, it wasn't because he had all this wisdom and could speak and knew multiple teachings and the writings of Epimenides and the prophets in Crete, right? He may have known all those things, but to him, the thing of most importance is Christ and him crucified. In the same book in 1 Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians 15 that we get the gospel, for this is the gospel which you are saved by if you hold fast till the end. That Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he rose again according to the scriptures. And he did so for our sins. And he appeared to over 500 in Corinth. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared to him last, right? And so we see all these things and recognize the central message over and over again is Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when we see things being said like this, we can already point out and say, mark, avoid heretical. But what people don't realize is that the Emergent Church, as he mentioned, it may not be called Emergent. And this was a number of years ago before Progressive Christianity, in terms of being out and out, pointed out and shown as the false teaching that it is on a regular basis in terms of naming the name of it. This is before that was really that big into doing that. And he was already saying, we're sneaking in there. We're seasoning the pie, so to speak. You know, what they're really dropping in is cyanide. And what is happening to so many young people, sadly enough, is they're hearing messages so often that have little bits of that seasoning. And we don't even need to call it an emergent church anymore. It's just progressive Christianity. And what happens? Eventually deconstruction. I think of Aaron Rodgers, right? He's been all over the news and a lot of people like that he's fighting for freedom and all this stuff. But he also has podcasts that have been listened to by millions of people denigrating Christians for believing in the one true God and in hell and the doctrine of salvation and so forth. And that all started from Aaron Rodgers having a meeting with none other than Rob Bell. You see, this little bit of seasoning of cyanide has absolutely killed the faith of so many. Guys like John Steingart, guys like Rhett Link, guys over and over again, the deconstruction movement really started a long time ago. Obviously, it's from Satan, and it started in Genesis chapter 3 when he said, "Has God said?" Because what he was doing there in Genesis chapter 3 was questioning the character of God by questioning whether or not what God has said was true. Because just as you or I, we have people in our lives, right? Maybe somebody you met, maybe especially in high school, right? Where you would say something and they say, "Is that really true? Can I really trust you with that?" Talk about not having any character. If you didn't trust the stories that people would tell you, especially if they are serious and true, especially if they are commands, then guess what? That person's character is not worth diddly squat. And so when somebody comes up and says, "Do you really trust that guy? You really believe he's telling you the truth?" That's the first thing that Satan did. The first action he did was ask, "Has God really said? Has God really said?" And it's interesting because it's dealing with consequences. The emergent church, the consequences they dealt and got away with right away was the doctrine of hell. Rob Bell wrote an entire book, Love Wins, which was coming against the doctrine of hell. Once again, Brian McLaren, that very quote where we talk about the cross being, he said the cross is false advertising and distraction, had to do with dealing with hell. William Young from The Shack, guess what? He is a universalist, the doctrine of hell, done away with. All of these things, putting these doubts into young people and older people's mind who maybe have a struggle with certain things or maybe a loved one that they don't believe is saved, these doctrines will tickle the ears of so many. And this is why when you start doubting, number one, when you start doubting what God has already clearly said in his word, as soon as you start doubting those things and you start going, "Well, has God really said that? Maybe I can find a different interpretation." They call it a conversation. Really, it's questioning God. It's questioning, has God really said this? Has God really said all the things that he said in the Bible? And getting away from God's word. And one thing, if you're in a fellowship and you're going to a church, if they stop preaching on a couple of things, if they stop preaching on the fear of the Lord, if they stop teaching and warning people about falling into sin, you need to start recognizing whether or not they're truly a biblical church. Are they truly standing on the word of God? Do they truly love what God's word says? Because the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord need to be right at the forefront of our minds as believers in Christ. And for those who are elders, pastors, and so forth, you need to make sure. And yes, if Paul can be checked by the Bereans to see if what he's saying is accurate to the scriptures, and then he would say they're noble because of it. We as believers need to check those who are teaching. Check anything that is taught here on 511 News, anything taught at Blessed Hope Chapel, anything taught at Good Fight Ministries. Check it all with the word of God. You have to do that. And the reality is we all need to do that and make sure, is what I'm teaching in line with the word of God? Because so often you're seeing these Sunday messages go out to a bunch of people in a church, and all it is fluffy nonsense with stories in between that might reference a scripture here and there. And it's heartbreaking because that's not what the people need. They need to be encouraged. They need to be exhorted. They need to be rebuked. We need messages that will make us tremble before the Lord, that make us say, "Man, I need to make sure I'm right with him," and encourage us to love and good deeds. Love and good deeds of sharing the gospel, loving people, and making sure we live holy lives. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We don't want to be those who are of those who shrink back. We want to be those who run and seek after Christ. And we need to recognize these maxims that come from the world, philosophies that come from the world, ideologies like CRT and other things that come from the world and Marxism and so forth. Recognize them, point them out, and say, wait a second, we're getting off track here. We're getting away from the simplicity of Christ, and we're moving on to some social gospel that doesn't recognize when I love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I can love my neighbor as myself properly and give him love and truth and speak with grace as though seasoned with salt, so I will know how to give an answer to that person. And I'm not going to love them properly if I don't first have a true love for God where I'm seeking him and his face and trusting his word, which Jesus Christ, the risen king, the one who died a public death, the one who rose publicly and spent over 40 days giving many convincing proofs of his resurrection. That same Jesus is the one who said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus, there was no deceit found in him. He never said anything that was wrong. He was perfect. He is perfect. And the fact is, if he has a trust in the word of God, I better have a trust in the word of God, because I didn't raise from the dead, nor could I raise Lazarus. But I say all that to say, seek after Christ, trust in him, recognize when people are off and share lovingly with them why they're off, and always go back to what the word of God says. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.